The one thing that the Bible does not teach, which is addressed in question number 20, is that of all men. Are all men saved by Christ as they have perished in Adam? And the answer is no. The Bible does not teach universal salvation. God created hell, and there are people in hell, and there will be people in hell. So not all men are saved by Christ. The argument is, well, all men are in Adam. We're all born in Adam. But not everybody is in Christ. That's what the Bible teaches. What is the distinguishing factor? Well, there's many, but the one that is mentioned in the Catechism is only those who by true faith are engrafted into Christ and receive all his benefits. You're either in Adam, you're in covenant, if you will, with Satan, or you're in Christ. That's the way the Bible describes there are two kinds of people. Either those in Adam, which is everybody at birth, and those that are in Christ. And the need, the necessity of true faith. Trusting in what? Question 21. When I talk to the catechism class, what have I said about question 21? It's a got to know, right? It's one of those that I said, you must know and be able to remember 21. There's a few of them, right? 1 and 2 and 21, 60 and so on. This is one of those. The definition here is a great definition of true faith. What is faith? What is true faith? And the answer is true faith has three elements to it. The first is a knowledge. True faith is not only a sure knowledge whereby I hold for truth all that God has revealed to us in his word. In other words, true faith has an object. When you came today, drove today to church, nobody walked here today, right? Everybody drove. When you drove today, there was an element, there was an object of your faith that got you here safely from home to here. What was it? Your car, right? There was an object. There was something that you trusted, if you will. You got in and you started it up and you drove here, you rode here. There was an element. There was something that you trusted. In many ways, true faith is riding in the gospel, riding in the person of Jesus Christ, okay? How do you know about Jesus Christ? Because it's revealed to us in his word and proclaimed through the preaching of the gospel. And so true faith, the first element, it believes in something. It's not a blind leap out into the darkness, okay? It is standing securely upon the rock of Jesus Christ. There is a true knowledge. The second element, notice it says true faith is not only a sure knowledge. Second is I hold these truths that God has revealed them. Second, it is true. It is not only do I know about it, but I know it to be true. That Jesus Christ is my Savior. Amen. But thirdly, true faith is also a hearty trust which the Holy Spirit works in me by the gospel. What a wonderful statement that is. It's a trust from the heart. The most important element there, is it not? There are many who know about the gospel. There are many that will acknowledge that it is true, but they do not trust in Jesus alone. They're trusting in themselves. They're trusting in their good works. They're trusting in their faithfulness. True faith is not only a knowledge, a sure knowledge, but also a hearty trust. And I love that statement, which the Holy Spirit works in me by the gospel. Paul writes in the book of Romans that the gospel is the power of God to salvation. That the Holy Spirit takes that glorious gospel message, the message of that Jesus is Lord and Jesus has reigns and Jesus has conquered all his and our enemies. The gospel is a victory declaration of Jesus Christ over the sin and the world and the devil. It is good news. The Holy Spirit uses that gospel and brings us to life. And notice the benefits, that I am forgiven of my sins. Did you notice that, and we sang in that hymn today, and it said, His pardoning voice I hear. Did that touch you? It touched me. When I hear the voice of God, it's a voice of pardon. I love you. I forgive you. I am forgiven in the sight of God. My sins are no more. They are covered. Notice also, not only that, I love this statement, everlasting righteousness. We see not only that the writers of the Heidelberg Catechism understood the passive obedience or the death of Christ and what that meant, but they also understood that we need Jesus' righteousness to be able to stand before God without condemnation. Righteousness that is everlasting. The clothing of pure righteousness of Christ and salvation, which are freely given by God merely of grace. Isn't that what we believe? We believe that salvation is of God only for the sake of Christ's merits. There's just so much in that catechism question. If you haven't memorized it, I challenge you, like I do the young people that are going through confirmation class, memorize that catechism question and just meditate on it. You'll find great benefit and fruit. What then is necessary for a Christian to believe? What is the content? The answer is all that is promised to us in the gospel, which the articles of our Catholic and undoubtedly Christian faith teach us in some. So it is the catechism is saying, well, the Apostles' Creed, which we recited, is a summary of the gospel. It's a gospel that includes the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In some places, the focus for many is that the gospel has to do with Jesus, and that is true. But the gospel also includes the Father, doesn't it? The Father from eternity chose to save us, chose to adopt us, to claim us as His own. The Son redeems us, has redeemed us, and He continues to work that work of redemption. And the Holy Spirit is involved in our salvation, isn't He? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so when we confess the Apostles' Creed, we're confessing the gospel. Every Sunday, we profess, this is what I believe. This is the triune God, and their person and work is what saves me. Not only saves me, but is eternal life, that personal relationship with Him. I know them. They know me. What greater glory is there than that?